This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 380.
Healthly Podcast Network.
HPN, in conjunction with Protectors of the Book, presents
Quest for Truth.
Now located at life-truth.com.
Seeking the truth about God, faith, and the Bible.
Life Truth, comparing worldviews in a casual setting. Digging deep into the Bible and its challenges.
Here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Okay, here we go. This is your host, Keith, and I'm coming at you with a Quest for Truth episode. Hey, in a little bit, we'll have a pre-recorded segment where Nathan Caldwell and I both chime in on a timely topic for our world today and for the unforeseeable future, actually. It's all about the hijacked rainbow. People out there in society have seemed to made the rainbow symbol into an icon of perversion, and we'll cover what that's all about, and we'll discuss what it really means and the importance of it, and how it's even better symbol than that. And what can we do to take it back? Well, we could maybe approach that, but hey, part of that is going to be up to you deciding how to apply what we talk about and recover the covenant of the rainbow for its proper use. So with all that said, I don't have a lot of housekeeping. I'm kind of getting a later start at my podcast production here than I was hoped. I had some last minute family thing pop up, nothing major, but set me back. And I just got a little bleep in my headset saying I think my headset battery is running low. So I better just shut up and hey, listen to these great folks at the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. People like these, and then we'll get started with our show.
Now featured on the Christian Podcast Community, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Welcome to the Doctrine Matters Podcast, where we seek to equip the church to understand and live out its faith. I'm your host, Stephen Dew. I'm the preaching pastor at South Caraway Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We want to thank you for joining us today, and let's get right to today's episode.
Salve Deo Gloria.
Can you answer the following questions for your children or for the person to whom you are witnessing? Number one, is the New Testament reliable? Two, can you explain the Trinity to me? Three, how is Jesus both God and man? And a slew of other questions you will be able to answer if you get Andrew Rappaport's new book, What Do We Believe? It will help you a ton. Get your copy at whatdowebelievebook.com, whatdowebelievebook.com.
Main topic.
I wanted to look today at the rainbow and what is it and what is its purpose, what was its purpose, and what will always be its purpose. Of course, today, everyone knows the rainbow is associated with the gay pride movement, with Pride Month, and has a pride flag, and they keep adding other icons of sexual social deviancy to it to pollute it even more. But what is that? For one thing, why does the homosexual and other sexual deviant community latch on to the rainbow? Well, one thing is, to boil it down, the rainbow is a sign of hope. And, of course, people who are marginalized, excluded, of course, the homosexual community in all of its various renditions with the LGBT, LMNOP, XYZ, Alphabet Mafia. But as I recall, it started around the early 1980s. And remember that movie with Kermit the Frog? They made a Muppet movie. And in there, he sings a song about the Rainbow Connection. And it's a nice song about lovers and dreamers and me as part of the song. And as I recall, very early on, people with disabilities latched onto that. Because it's a song of hope. It's a beautiful song of dreaming that everyone can be accepted and included. Inclusion doesn't mean equal. It just means there's a place for you among society. And people with disabilities use that kind of as an anthem. And you would see it a lot in commercials that had to do with Down syndrome and cerebral palsy and things like that. Well, it also, I don't know when, it slowly became associated with gay pride. And because, I guess, they feel marginalized and excluded and left out in their closet. And they wanted to latch on to the hope of that as well. And it is true, the rainbow is a sign of hope. But it's not a sign of hope for what you think it is, if that's what you think it is. Granted, disabled people and marginalized people, they should find their place in the world. People should accept them. People should focus on what they can do and not what they can't do. And you can tailor a job around that. I've seen it happen. It happens all the time. And as far as the homosexual lifestyle, you know, honestly, what you do behind your locked doors of your house, I can't stop you from that. And I don't have the power to, and I don't know that I would suggest it, other than you should find Christ and bring it to Him. Which brings up our topic, I guess, of people who claim to be gay Christians. Well, that's oxymoron, because you can't be that. It's just not possible. But anyway, this is where the deviant use of the rainbow comes in. It has a false idea of hope.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Okay, so a few thoughts.
What do you know about the rainbow? Well, obviously, we know what it's not. The rainbow was not intended as a showing of pride for people who are doing what God said not to do and are acting in ways that God said not to act and believing in ways that God says is not true. That is not what the rainbow is for. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9, starting with verse 8. Just now, I came in, greeted my dog, got cleaned up, sat down to record with you guys. And I was thinking, you know, it must have been similar, except for the sitting down to record part, and maybe sitting down to write something down. But it must have been similar to the days of Noah, when people were marrying and giving in marriage and just living their life. The only problem was, God said in Genesis, recorded by Moses, that their lives were continually evil. Their thoughts were continually evil. it had gotten so bad that God, in his holiness, to the best of my understanding, basically despised the fact that he created them. Now, I don't understand God's emotional spectrum. I know that God knows all things. So that piece of information maybe is for a different time to hash out. But it was bad. And so bad that God decided, okay, it's time to basically start over. So he told Noah, build an ark. Collect your animal, collect so many of each animal. Numbers based on whether the animal was considered clean or unclean by God. And eventually, when the guy that always came home on the same day from work and greeted his dog, something happened that had never happened before. It rained. And it didn't just rain. It flooded. I believe water came from the floor, or the ground, and the sky. It was bad. And only 8 souls survived it because they were in the ark that God told Noah to prepare. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. Finally, everything dried up. Now, this was long after the 40 days and 40 nights, because, I mean, 40 days and 40 nights of rain, it's going to take a while to dry up. And not only that, remember, the water was most likely coming from the ground, too. It was just a bad situation. And so, I mean, it would take a while for the ground to get to where it was walkable again, but eventually it did. And this is where we are in verse 8 of Genesis 9.
But why is there hope? Well, to find out, of course, everyone knows the rainbow, a colorful icon in the sky, is associated with Noah and his ark and the flood that was upon the earth. So, in what way does a flooded earth have to do with hope? And why is the rainbow its icon? The icon is not really the right word. We'll get to that as we go. It's, you know, a covenant symbol. That's what it is. Spoiler alert, covenant. Anyway. But we have to start way back in Genesis 8. And verses, the last couple of verses in the chapter, verses 20 to 22. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings to the altar. Now this is right after the floodwaters receded, dry land appeared. Noah had sent out the dove and the crow, and the one came back with the olive branch, and the other never came back. But then the dry land appeared, and the animals were let out. And so a grateful, worshiping Noah worships in the way common at the time. You had an altar. You built an offer, and you had a sacrifice. And this is what he did. Now we can get into, the animals there and some of the numbering and why it happened that the God numbered them the way he did. But let's not really part of our discussion on the rainbow. But in verse 21, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. Now, I'm reading this from the NASB. I will say I dropped a couple words in there, so I'm going to call that verse reading a paraphrase. But this is what it says. God says that, you know, he was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice. He accepted Noah's act of worship, but he said, I will never curse the earth. I will never again destroy every living thing. Now, why is that a curse? Why is it a curse that God destroyed the earth and destroyed every living thing? Well, what did the earth do? The planet, what did it do? What did the plants do? What did the animals do? Well, nothing other than they were affected by the curse. I believe it says as much in Genesis 3. Then later in Romans 8, it says the earth groans under the weight of the sin of man. Why? Because the earth is where God created man to be. It is, he created it as a perfect habitat for man. But man's sin not only ruined man's lifespan, it ruined creation altogether. Now, how did it ruin it? I don't know. I would like to know. One day I'll find out. But because God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be the perfect earth. And those in Christ will be raised with him and stand on the last day, and we'll all get to see it as it was intended. The earth was intended for a habitat for man, but man's sin cursed it, and God wiped it out. He destroyed all the life, plant life, animal life. The water represents God's wrath. God's wrath came, and people say, oh, he killed innocent animals and babies and children, and they had no guilt of sin. Well, God didn't see it that way. Sometimes just the act of being born into a sinful family structure, you just inherit that. And who's to say that there were babies? Here's a concept. You know, what if God made all the women barren for the previous 10 years or something? I don't know. I'm just being tossing out a wild idea. Unfounded, so please don't take it for gospel. It's not. Just an idea. But it does, you know, Jesus did say that up until the days of the flood, people were, you know, giving and being given in marriage. And so there were probably babies being born up to that time. But the point is, the sin was just so rampant that God just decided to apply his wrath and wipe out the earth. And he did that by water. He separated Noah from planting his feet on terra firma. He separated his wrath of destruction, separated Noah from the land that he had intended for man. And so this is why the curse here is important. God, the curse is for that man was separated from his world. And so let's go on. Verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time of harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Okay, let me say it again. While the earth remains, while the earth, another earth will come to an end eventually, in God's timing, when he's ready. But it's not yet. But while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold heat, day and night will not cease. Now, there's a promise right there. How much aggravation is there about global warming and climate change and we're wrecking our world, we're all going to die, we're destroying our planet? Well, the thing is, man is not, I don't care how strong you are, I don't care how populated you are, we as collectively, almost 8 billion people on the planet, we collectively are not strong enough to destroy this planet. the nature of this planet is more destructive than man is. So just one volcanic eruption can cause, I mean, this is an actual historical record. Back in medieval times, the volcano erupted, and there was no summer that year. There was so much volcanic debris and ash and chemicals. It lowered the temperatures drastically, that livestock died, that there was no summer, crops did not grow. It was winter in July. This is actual historical fact. And this is from one volcano erupting. Now, nature has a lot more impact on the climate and its change than all the men driving all the cars in the world does. We are in no danger of killing our planet. Is there climate change? Yeah. Is there a concern? Yeah. We should be good stewards of the planet God gave to us. But as long as the earth remains, God promises that seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. It's a promise right there. So when you hear scare tactics about that we got to do something the next 4 years or the planet will be gone, no, don't believe that. There's nothing that man can do that will destroy this planet. And that's one promise that's very closely related to the rainbow, because it comes right from Noah's first worship when he left the ark.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, I mean, it would take a while for the ground to get to where it was walkable again, but eventually it did. And this is where we are in verse 8 of Genesis 9. It says, God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. Now, what he's saying is, he would no longer send a flood to destroy the entire earth. That worldwide flood wouldn't happen again. Verse 12 says, And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you. So he says, This is the sign for perpetual generations, for all the time, perpetual generations. Your father, his father, or no, the other way. Your son, his kids, their kids, on down for perpetually. Always. What is that token? Here it is, verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now, God was not going to forget. That is not what this text means here. But that token, that rainbow, would be proof to all that God was not going to destroy the earth in a flood of water ever again. It does not necessarily mean remember like I forgot and I'd remember. This word could also mean to be mindful, to recount, to bring to remembrance. Well, but he hadn't forgotten, obviously. To think on. Any of these could be what remember means. The main thing, though, is that he recognized God would always promise
and would recognize his own token that he gave to us. So now, when it rains, we get to see a comforting sign of this promise in the clouds. That's what a rainbow is, and that's what a rainbow means.
Now, if we fast forward here to Genesis 9, the first dozen or so verses here, again, I may end up having to paraphrase a little bit, but I'm going to try to be as accurate with this as possible. Verse 8, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, verse 9, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. So here it comes. Here comes the covenant. Before the covenant was, he's not going to destroy the earth by water. As long as there is an earth, the cycles of life will continue. Verse 10, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there ever be again a flood to destroy the earth. So there's God's covenant. He will not destroy the earth or cut off man from the earth with water. It's just not possible. And there's, I know atheists, it's impossible. There's not enough water on the earth to make a worldwide flood. Well, it's not unfeasible, but that's true. But this is underscores God's promise that he's not going to destroy the earth with a flood. He's not going to cut man off by a flood. And he previously promised the seasons will not end while there is an earth. Okay, let's keep on going. Verse 12, God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I'm making between you and me and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. Now, I didn't mention it, but this is for all living creatures. So this is a covenant not just to cut man off, but to not to cut animals off either, because the living creatures were made to live on the earth, on the surface of the earth, not on a boat floating above the surface. Verse 13, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. So he's making covenant, and his sign is this bow, the rainbow. Now here's something about a covenant, is when a covenant is made, to seal that covenant, something is destroyed. Something is broken. I'm told that in, you know, for example, Jewish wedding ceremonies, you know, we say kiss the bride. Well, they have a part where they throw a glass on the ground. It's, you know, covered in a cloth, and they stomp on it. They break it. They shatter it to pieces. It seals the covenant of their marriage. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes that what God has joined together, no one can put asunder. And just like those shattered fragments of the glass, how can you put it back together? Once something has been changed in that way. The sign of the covenant is that something is broken and it can't be undone. You'll never get it to go back together. You know, Humpty Dumpty and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. Once it's shattered, good luck. It's just not. And even if you try, it's not going to look the same. It's going to have the scars of the brokenness. Well, what happens in a rainbow? Scientifically, light passes through water droplets in the atmosphere, and it fragments. It breaks apart the light. The light is broken apart. You know, what we would call, you know, white light or the clear light is shattered, and we see it in its elemental forms, from green to yellow to orange to red to indigo or purple to and blue. We see light broken. Light itself is broken, and we see that in the rainbow. So that's the sign of this covenant, that the seasons will not end as long as earth is. And God will not separate man from the surface of the earth. He will not separate animals from the surface of the earth. He will not apply his wrath in the form of rain to destroy the earth ever again, as long as he deems the earth shall live. But it's going to be God who deems when the earth will cease to live. Verse 14, it should come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow will be seen in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. Verse 16, when the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. But there we have it. This is what the rainbow is. The rainbow is a covenant sign. It is light that is shattered. To put on a beautiful display, an elusive display, you can't find the end of a rainbow. In fact, if you try to chase the rainbow, it's going to appear to move away from you. But that's the sign. And its purpose is to understand the hope is that we know that the earth will not end by water, that we know that the earth will always have man and beast on it. We know that the earth will always have seasons. So this is the promise. So it's a promise we should be using to fight back against some of the political, governmental issues with Green New Deals and such, because it is silly and useless, honestly.
But now I want to talk about something else. It should be a concerning thing for the one who attempts to take something that God made and put it to an evil use. Remember when he talked about his covenant, his token to Noah, he said, I will put my bow in the clouds. Did you catch that? I will put my bow in the clouds. This rainbow does not belong to the people who claim pride. And that would be a whole other sermon, a whole other situation about this pride thing. It isn't theirs to take. It is not theirs to claim. God said, it's my bow. I claim it. Because I made it. He made it. And his claim is that it's for a purpose. And the purpose is to show us proof that he would not flood the earth to destroy it anymore. And oh my goodness. the evil. The evil. To use the promise that God wouldn't destroy the earth with water for its sin anymore, or mankind's sin anymore, by taking it and using it to glorify sin, is a shame. It's a shame.
I do have just a little bit more, if I can find it here. This is just a couple of short references to go along with the rainbow of the covenant, the season's not ending. We find that in Acts 14:17, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Isn't that what God does? This is what the rainbow is about. He provides us seasons and he fills our heart with joy. This is what we get from living in the earth. Where else can we go and have air to breathe and plenty water to drink and plenty food that comes springing out of the earth? Try doing it on the moon or Mars. You're going to have to carry a lot of life support systems with you. And maybe over many decades or centuries, you might cultivate something. But here on earth, it's already there. God made it right here for man. In Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Now, God does more than just provide for physical needs. He gives us wisdom. He raises up leaders, kings. In Jeremiah 33:20, this will be the last one. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer comes in their appointed time. And it goes on to say, then my covenant with David can be broke, my covenant with the Levites can be broke. And obviously any good Jew of the time would know that's just not done. That's not possible. Their covenants with God are everlasting. So if you're going to say that one promise doesn't last, that the day and night will end, then none of them will last. And God says it will last. The day and night will not cease. The seasons will not cease. Just as his, if one of his promises is good, they all are. This is the hope. It has nothing to do with, what's in your pants and liking other people. That's deviation. That's deviant. I mean, that is absolutely, utterly nothing to do with the promise of the rainbow. The rainbow is a beautiful image. Everyone likes the rainbow, but you just want to make sure that when you see a rainbow, maybe we should find a way to point out what that really means. It doesn't mean what you think it means, unless you're wearing it as a symbol of hope that God will not destroy, his wrath will not remove man from earth ever again. Now, it will eventually, because even the scripture refers to Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, but it's not going to happen unless God is ready. And once God's ready, there's nothing that anybody's going to do to stop it. So there's my thoughts on the rainbow.
Attention, this is a coded report nationwide.
Two great books and one website. Visit strivingforeternity.org. There are two books that I would like to recommend you purchase. What they, meaning people who aren't Christians, other religions believe, and what we believe. Systematic Theology Made Simple. Both are great resources, especially if you plan on witnessing to somebody. strivingforeternity.org.
We live in a world whose primary concern is feeling good. Even some Christians think all you need to do is name and claim your rescue from strife. Yes, Jesus healed lepers. And yes, he rose Lazarus from the dead. But don't forget that Jesus let Lazarus die before acting, so God's glory would be shown. God will take care of his people, just not always in the ways we expect or desire in the present. Countering the culture in our quest for truth, this is Nathan Caldwell for Countershock. Check out all we have to offer at the Life Truth Network, life-truth.com.
Welcome to Romans Road, the podcast of me, Eddie Roman. This is where we talk about evangelism and apologetics and all kinds of Christian stuff.
Ray Comfort here. If you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, please take a moment to do so now. On your phone's podcast app, search for Romans Road, and when you find it, hit subscribe. It's free, and by doing so, you'll get all episodes past, present, and future. Then when you're finished, head over to livingwaters.com for a huge collection of evangelism videos, articles, tracks, and resources to help you share the gospel with those around you. That's livingwaters.com.
Thanks for listening to Romans Road. If you want to learn how to evangelize, check out my book, Search and Rescue, available at eddieroman.com. On my website, you'll also find videos and other things to encourage you to preach the gospel to your friends and family. That's eddieroman.com. See you next time.
Alrighty, and that's what we have to talk about. Clearly, you can see the misuse of the symbol of the rainbow. I really like what Nathan had to say, that it's not our rainbow, it's God's rainbow. I really like that idea. And only God can really determine what its purpose is, and to misuse it is, you know, you're taking matters into some dangerous territories there. Anyway, that's all I got. I do need to wrap this up pretty quickly. I just want to once again say thanks for the great folks there at the Christian Podcast Community.org. Bunches of shows, bunches of new podcasters there. Check them out. But for now, hey, here comes Anthony Russo to take us out of here. So this is your host, Keith, signing off, saying thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us. That's how we do. We'll grow our audience the most. But here's Anthony to tell you all about how to find us on the interwebs. Take it away, Anthony.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell on you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.